Joshua chapter 17. I'm dealing tonight with complaining Christians. Our text is verse 14. Joshua 17, verse 14. And the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, Why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people? For as much as the Lord hath blessed me, Joshua was given the unenviable task of dividing the land of Canaan between the children of Israel according to each of the tribes. An unenviable task, because it would be almost impossible for Joshua, in dividing the land, to please everyone. He was not a man to attempt such a thing, that is, to please everyone. Rather, his object was to please the Lord in all that he did. And certainly in our study of Joshua, we have seen that. He's a man who pleased the Lord, or endeavored to do so, in everything that he did as Israel's great leader. He was, in many ways, like the Apostle Paul, who said, For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Galatians 1, verse 10. And so Paul was saying, if I set out in my ministry merely to please men, then I am not a servant of Christ. The Apostle Paul, like Joshua, was only interested in pleasing God. So in dividing the land, and in doing so, striving to please the Lord, some men would not be pleased. Some men were not pleased with Paul's ministry and what Paul said. But Paul was more interested in pleasing God. Such was the case with regard to the children of Joseph. They were dissatisfied with the lot and the portion of the land that they had received. Came to Joshua, saying, Why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people? For as much as the Lord hath blessed me hitherto. So they came to this man of God, Joshua, to air their grievances. And the way in which Joshua dealt with the children of Joseph and dealt with their grievances shows us that Joshua was a wise man. And dealing with so many people, he needed the wisdom of Solomon. For he resolved the situation. He resolved the situation. And that brings to mind the words of Solomon, who said, When a man's ways please the Lord, Joshua's ways pleased the Lord, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Proverbs 16, verse 7, and by the time we get to the end of the chapter, the children of Joseph are at peace with Joshua. First of all, want to consider tonight Joshua and the complainers. Joshua and the complainers. It is obvious from the words of the children of Joseph that they were a very unthankful people. They readily admitted. They readily admitted the Lord had blessed them. We are a great people, for as much as the Lord had blessed me hitherto. The Lord had made them a great people, and they acknowledged the Lord had blessed them. That brings us then to consider their problem. What's your problem? And they bring before Joshua then their problem. Of all the tribes of Israel, now mark this, of all the tribes of Israel, making up many, many thousands, the children of Joseph was the only tribe that complained. Of the 12 tribes, the children of Joseph was the only tribe that complained. They were the only ones not satisfied with their allotment, with their inheritance. So to Joshua they came complaining, "Why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit?" Of course, whenever they came to Joshua with their complaint, in a sense it was hardly surprising because they had a reputation for complaining. You go on over to Judges chapter 8. Judges chapter 8. And there we read in the first verse of chapter 8, the men of Ephraim, and remember the men of Ephraim made up the children of Joseph. Indeed, Joshua was of the tribe of Ephraim. And here in verse 1 of Judges chapter 8, "And the men of Ephraim said unto him, Why hast thou served us thus?" They're complaining again. "Why hast thou served us thus, that thou calledest us not when thou wentest to fight with the Midianites?" And they did chide with him sharply. Over in Judges. Judges chapter 12. Judges 12, first verse. "And the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and went northward and said unto Jephthah, Wherefore passest thou over to fight against the children of Ammon and did not call us to go with thee? We will burn thine house upon thee with fire." So they had a bit of a reputation. We already noted those two references. And here we have them in Joshua in chapter 17. And they come to Joshua. "Why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, saying, I am a great people?" There's no real surprise that the same tribe came complaining to Joshua. They had a reputation. We notice, first of all, regarding their problem, they were disgruntled. I think we have all met with the children of Joseph in our day. People who are never satisfied. People who are never happy about anything. Always disgruntled, always dissatisfied with something. They never seem to have known what Paul spoke about in Philippians 4, verse 4. "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice." They never seem to get there. Neither have they ever experienced what Peter was speaking about in 1 Peter 1, verse 8. Yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Well, you couldn't say that about the children of Joseph. We've already seen in three references. They were a people who always seemed to be complaining. Even though they testified the Lord had blessed them. And in the Lord blessing them, you'd have thought they would have been rejoicing, but no, they complained. Complained that they didn't receive enough. For some, it doesn't matter how much they have. They're dissatisfied with their lot, and so they're always complaining. They were disgruntled. They were also dissatisfied. They were dissatisfied with what they had been given. Others were satisfied, but not the children of Joseph. As we pointed out already, the children of Joseph were the only ones to complain. Of all the tribes of Israel, the children of Joseph were the only ones to complain. Even though they meant it, the Lord had blessed me hitherto. They just weren't content. Lack of contentment is a terrible thing. To go through life as a professing believer, not being content with what the Lord has given to us, that Christian, that professing Christian must live a miserable life. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. Paul says, in everything give thanks. Everything. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. It's the will of God that the Christian gives thanks in everything. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So Paul delivered this personal message to the believers at Thessalonica. Paul says, this concerns you. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And here in the, among the children of Joseph, do we have a picture of selfish saints, complaining Christians. Not satisfied saints or content Christians. The Apostle Paul was a man who did not possess very much as far as this world's goods were concerned. Turn to 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4. He's in prison. It's near the end of his life. He's awaiting the guards to come and lead him out to be put to death. Remember the Reverend John Douglas going over this chapter and or this book, Pastoral Epistles, in his class in the Theological Hall. When he came to chapter 4, he says you can almost hear the rattle of the chains. When you look at this chapter 4, there's Paul. And he's very much alone as far as his fellow laborers are concerned. For he says in verse 11, only Luke is with me. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark, verse 11. And bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. Verse 13, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus. When thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. There's Paul, and he's in prison. And here he gives a request, bring that cloak with thee that I left at Troas. He didn't even have a coat to cover him. And bring the books, he says, especially the parchments. He didn't even have a sheet of paper to write upon. And yet, What was Paul able to say? In another one of his prison epistles, in Philippians 4, verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. He didn't have a coat to cover him. He didn't have a parchment to write. He didn't have a book to read. And yet what does he say? Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Children of Joseph weren't very content, were they? The children of Joseph complained that they had not been given enough. Yet again, Paul said, 1 Timothy 6, verse 8, and having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Oh, how complaining Christians could learn from Paul. For he said, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And may the Lord ever deliver us from being like the children of Joseph. May the Lord help us and teach us to be content with what we have. They were disgruntled. They were dissatisfied. And they were disrespectful. The children of Joseph. That is disrespectful to Joseph, or sorry, to Joshua. They were disrespectful to Joshua. Joshua did what the Lord had told him to do. And yet they come to Joshua saying, why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit? They were disrespectful to Joshua, their leader, the man of God, that had done so much for them. But their bigger crime was they were disrespectful to the Lord. They said, why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion? They complained to Joshua, and they complained about what the Lord had given to them. You see, as the land was divided out, it was divided by lot, you remember. And as the land was divided out, it was marked out by a higher hand than Joseph's. It was marked by the Lord himself. In Joshua chapter 14, and verse 2, where we read, by lot was their inheritance, as the Lord commanded, by the hand of Moses, for the nine tribes and for the half tribe. And so the lot fell upon the children of Joseph according to the providence of God. So their complaint was not so much with Joseph, with Joshua, but with the Lord. Because in the providence of God, the children of Joseph received that portion of land. They received that particular inheritance according to the providence of God. And here they were complaining about the providence of God in their lives. What the Lord had given to them, they weren't happy with, they weren't satisfied with, and they were dissatisfied, and they were disrespectful to the Lord. You think of Jacob Now, maybe at times Jacob wasn't the best of men. But at least Jacob, in later years, was a man who was thankful for what the Lord had given him. Because in Genesis 32, verse 10, he says, I am not worthy of the least of thy mercies, which thou hast showed unto thy servant. I'm not worthy. There's a humility that was not seen amongst the children of Joseph. Instead, the children of Joseph said, why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion? There was their complaint. And how disrespectful they were. How disrespectful we are. If we complain about God's providential dealings with us. Let me give you something from my own life. I often think about the men that I sat with around the table in the theological hall. The year that I entered the theological hall, 1974, there were 13 students went in at the same time. Some of them I didn't know. Certainly got to know them over those 4 years. And indeed, we became very close. And I often think, in the following years, where all those men are. And the churches that the Lord led them to and where they minister. And I think of some of the men, and they had were led to minister to quite large churches. But in the providence of God, the Lord led me and my wife and family here. It's not a large church. I think of Brother Greer, who'll be here in a few weeks' time. He has about 500-600 of a congregation. I sat beside him in the theological hall. The Lord led him there. The Lord led us here. I want to say something now. I'm not complaining. I'm here in the providence of God. And I thank the Lord for leading us here. As we've quoted Murray McShane in the past, says McShane said, there's no other place I'd rather be than in the center of God's will. I'm not complaining. And we read then in the Psalms, Psalm 69 or 68 and verse 19, blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Well, nothing to complain about. The Lord daily loadeth us with benefits. Daily. Every day. Remember when our dear brother Tom McGarvey was amongst us on a Wednesday night when he'd be here with us for the prayer meeting? I always remember him thanking the Lord. And he's telling the Lord, he says, we have food on our table and we have clothes on our back. There's hardly a prayer meeting in which Tom didn't pray that prayer of thanksgiving. Why were the children of Joseph complaining? Psalm 103, verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So we have considered, first of all, the problem regarding with regard to these complainers. And then we have the portion. Now the children of Joseph complained, "Why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit?" Now on the face of it, their complaint may seem to be legitimate. But a closer look at what they had received reveals something quite different. That one portion, listen, that one portion that the Lord gave to the children of Joseph was the largest portion that was given to any of the tribes of Israel. But here you have the children of Joseph, and they minimize what they had received. Oh, we just got one portion. But the point is, it was the biggest portion of all the tribes in Israel. They had been given the largest share of the land of Canaan, yet they were not satisfied. And the children of Joseph had been given at least three lots. Obviously, we don't have time to look at it all tonight, but you can read chapters 13, 14, 16, and 17. And it outlines for you there what each of the tribes received. And you'll find that the children of Joseph received more than any other tribe. And yet they weren't happy. They weren't satisfied. And those who unjustly complain always discount and always minimize what they have. They complain that they have nothing. And yet, if they would only stop and look at what the Lord has given to them and how the Lord has blessed them, they would soon realize, I have nothing to complain about. Remember my years at home with my parents. And if I was complaining about something, my mother always said, I wept because I had no shoes, until I met the man who had no feet. Sort of puts it in perspective. And here the children of Joseph complain, oh, we've only got one lot. It was the biggest lot in all of the land of Canaan. They minimized what they had. When we look at others with their land and gold, think what Christ has promised you, his wealth untold. Count your many blessings. Money cannot buy your reward in heaven, nor your home on high. We often use the phrase, we're richer than millionaires. Well, nothing to complain about. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. And not being satisfied with what they had been given shows us that the children of Joseph were a very covetous people. They coveted more. They weren't happy, weren't satisfied with what they had. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Paul says, let your conversation, the word conversation there means manner or ways of life, your manner of life. Let your manner of life be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. Unfortunately, the children of Joseph were not content. They were complainers. We notice then their problem and their portion. And then we cannot help but notice their pride. Their pride. Look there again at verse 14. And the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, Why hast thou given us? No. Why hast thou given me? But one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people. For as much as the Lord had blessed me. There's their pride. There's their self and their selfishness. The children of Joseph were only thinking about me. It was just I and me. How often does foolish pride seek to fill our hearts betimes? If we would only stop and think, if we would only stop and think about the rock whence we were hewn and the pit from whence we were digged, we'd have nothing to complain about. Do you ever think where you would be tonight? Say tonight. If the Lord hadn't saved us. What would we be doing? What sin would we be in? How far would we be away from God? These children of Joseph were very self-centered. I, me, and I. Regarding discipleship, if any man will come after me, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Let him deny self. And take up his cross and follow me. The word deny there means to deny utterly, completely. Let him deny himself. In other words, the Lord is telling to his would-be disciples, if you're going to be a follower of me, if you're going to be one of my disciples, there's no room for self. No room for self. Let him deny himself. And the words of the prophet would apply to the children of Joseph. For Obadiah said, The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. You're deceived into thinking you've been overlooked. You're deceived into thinking you've got such a small portion. You're deceived into thinking others got more than you got. And the pride of your heart has deceived you. Deceived them into thinking that they were more important than others. After all, they did say, but I am a great people. My. Talk about self-centeredness. Talk about pride. 1 John 2, verse 16, the Apostle John teaches us the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The pride of life is not of the Father. The pride of life is not of God. It's of the world. And Solomon declares in Proverbs 16, verse 19, better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Children of Joseph, self-centeredness. You have Joshua and the complainers. You have Joshua and his challenge. Joshua now responds to this complaint and his complainers by, first of all, a rebuke. Joshua rebukes them, saying, if thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country. Verse 15. All right. You claim to be a great people, then get up. Get up. Get up to the wood country. And there Joseph, or Joshua, is telling them to cut down the trees. Make for yourselves more land. That's what he's telling them. Joshua challenges them that if they be such a great people, then they should be doing great things. Instead, they were like Moab. Moab, of whom we read, hath been at ease from his youth, and he hath settled on his lees. Jeremiah 47, verse 11. But like the children of Joseph, they were sitting, doing nothing. Nothing. They were not involved in the work, just sitting by, like the Pharisees. Remember how we read about the Pharisees? They came to one of the Lord's meetings and they were there, we're told, sitting by. That's all they were doing, sitting by. They weren't getting any benefit from the ministry. They weren't interested in what the Lord was saying other than trying to trip them up with his words. They were just sitting by, ready to complain, ready to condemn, ready to criticize. They were just sitting by. Well, the children of Joseph were similar to that. They were sitting by. They were sitting on their lees. They were sitting at ease. And yet they expected everything to be done for them, everything to be handed to them. You get a few of those boys today, don't you? The one things handed to them. And here the children of Joseph sat at ease, never got involved in furthering the cause of the work or the witness in Canaan. And how true it is. I hear in talking to some of my colleagues, some in the past who have gone through hard times in their churches and some disruption, and they tell me, you know, the people that complain the most are those who are never involved in anything. They just sit by. They just sit by and they complain. Like the children of Joseph. So there you have Joseph's, or Joshua's, rebuke. Need to get up and do something. And then you have Joshua's remedy. Joshua challenged the children of Judah to get thee up to the wood country and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the giants, and of Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee. Joshua challenged this tribe to make use of what they had, to cut down the trees, cut down the wood, and then they'll be able to use the land. And go out against the Perizzites and fight them. Need some more land? Well, go and fight the Perizzites. If they were not happy or satisfied with their lot, they were then to do something about it. Joshua said, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee, if there's not enough room for you. Where do we come across that word before? 2 Kings chapter 6. And in 2 Kings chapter 6, We read there about the students, the prophets, who had gone and were at the school of Elisha. And the sons of the prophet said unto Elisha, behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us, too narrow for us. But they were going to do something about it. They didn't expect Elisha to do it all. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And they answered, go ye. They were going to do something about it. Yes, they came to the prophet and said, place is too narrow for us. It's too straight for us. But they then suggested to the prophet, let us go. Give us permission to go. And every man will take a beam. We'll share the burden of building a new place, school for the prophets. That was the challenge that Joshua gave to the children of Joseph. Then you have the reply. It appears that Joshua's word of rebuke and his advice regarding the remedy had no effect upon the complainers. No effect, because we read in verse 16, and the children of Joseph said, the hill is not enough for us. Now look at the end, the last verse of the chapter. Joshua said to them, but the mountain shall be thine. And yet what did the children of Joseph, how did they describe the mountain? They described it as a hill. Once again, they're minimizing what they have. Oh, it's only a hill. Hill's no good to us. Joshua told them, it's a mountain you have. It's not just a little hill. It's a mountain. And he exhorts them to make use of what they have. When they were challenged to go and clear the wood and fight the Perizzites and put to flight the giants, they were ready with their excuses. For we read in the verse 16, the hill is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron. Both they who are of Bethshean and her towns, and they who are of the valley of Jezreel. Still making excuses. Looking at the children of Joseph, we do not see a very attractive company of people. How different it is being in the company of God's people who love the Lord and are rejoicing in the Lord and talking about what the Lord has done for them and what the Lord has given to them. Here you have the children of Joseph, and really there's nothing much very attractive about them. We have seen they had a reputation for complaining. And even after the servant of the Lord ministered to them and told them what to do, they still complain. Not very attractive. Christians who are always complaining, they're not very Christ-like. We never read about the Lord complaining. We never read about him complaining, even though he lived on earth a very poor existence. He's born into a poor family. He said one day to those men who came to him and said they would wanted to be his disciples, he gave them a word of warning. He said this to them: foxes have holes. Birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. In other words, as far as this world's goods were concerned, Christ had nothing. Nothing. The birds of the air had more than what Christ had. The foxes of the fields had more than what Christ had. They had a home to go to. Christ says, the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And on at least one occasion, the Lord was in the Mount of Olives, and he lay under the open canopy of heaven all night. For we read that the people he had administered to left and went to their own home, and Christ went up into the mountain, and he spent the whole night under the open canopy of heaven, because he didn't have a home to go to. Do we ever read of him complaining? Not once. Not once. He who was rich became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. Oh, to be more like the Savior. Like the little children's chorus or hymn written by Charles Wesley, gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Look upon a little child, pity my simplicity. Suffer me to come to thee, fain I would be as thou art. Give me thy obedient heart. Thou art pitiful and kind. Let me have thy loving mind. Beautiful words. May it be true of us. Finally and briefly, in Joshua and look at the way Joshua handled the situation. In a most Christ-like manner. For we read in verse 17, after the children of Joseph had come back to Joshua, after he had told them what to do, they come back to him and they said, and then Joshua replies and says, and Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and to Manasseh, saying, thou art a great people and hast great power, thou shalt not have one lot only. He wasn't going to give them anything more, because what they had received, the Lord had given to them. But he was telling them to make use of what they did have. But the mountain shall be thine, not the hill that they had talked about. The mountain shall be thine, for it is a wood, and thou shalt cut it down. The outgoings of it shall be thine. You'll be able to use the wood. And when you've cleared the wood away, you'll be able to use the ground, and you'll be able to sow seed, and you'll be able to grow plants and fruit, and it'll all be yours. For thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong. This reminds me so much of the Savior. The night, and it's recorded in John 21, when the seven disciples went fishing. Peter said, I go a-fishing. The others said, we go also with thee. And we know what happened. They fished all night, caught nothing. Then the Lord appeared on the shore, and he told them to cast the net on the right side of the ship, and they caught a great draught of fishes. And the Lord said, come and dine, and bring the fish which ye have caught. See how the Lord encouraged the disciples. It was the Lord who told them where to fish. But the Lord gently encourages the disciples, bring the fish which ye have caught. Really, the Lord brought the fish into the net. But he was encouraging those wayward disciples. That's exactly what Joshua did here. He encouraged them. He said, yes, you are a great nation. Yes, you are a great people. And no, you didn't get a hill. You got a wood. You got a mountain. Yes, you are a great people and you have great power. And he's encouraging them to use it. You have the power. You have the place. And you have the people, because Joshua said, thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong. Yes, they would drive. Joshua was saying, if you look to the Lord, if you get your eyes off yourself and look to the Lord, you'll drive them out. Because we read in Joshua 11, and verse 6, and the Lord said unto Joshua, be not afraid because of them, for tomorrow about this time will I drive them. I will deliver them up, all slain before Israel. Thou shalt hew their horses and burn their chariots with fire. The Lord told Joshua how those who had the iron chariots would be defeated. And the Lord was saying, I'll do it. And Joshua was saying to the children of Joseph, look to the Lord. Stop looking to yourself. Stop looking to yourself. Don't be so self-centered. And when you start looking to the Lord, you'll not be complaining. You'll be able to do a great work for God. You'll defeat the parasites. You'll drive out the giants. You'll be able to take them and you'll burn their chariots of iron. Why didn't Joshua do a good job? He knew how to deal with the complainers. Let us not be like the children of Joseph. But rather, as Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let's bow in prayer. O Lord our God, we bless thee for the teaching of thy word. And O Lord, sometimes thy word will rebuke us. And Lord, we confess there are those times when we complain. And yet, Lord, when we're tempted to do so, let us look to the Lord. For he will drive out the giants. He will overthrow the parasites. He will burn the chariots of iron. He will give us the mountain. The mountain that we have asked for, Lord. And thou hast promised to give us the mountain. And O Lord God, I pray that together we'll go forward with our eyes upon him, the author and the finisher of our faith. With our eyes upon the one whom John saw standing in the midst of the churches. Lord, be with us all this week. Again, remember those, Lord, who will visit the hospital this week. Be with them. May they know, indeed, Lord, thou art with them. Give them the peace of God which passeth all understanding. Thy Lord, grant us thy blessing as we part the one from the other. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be our abiding portion now until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away.